In a world where women continue to break through glass ceilings, shatter stereotypes, and redefine success, there are so many stories just waiting to be heard. And that is exactly what this podcast is all about. I'm your host, Katie Williams, and in each episode, we'll sit down together with inspiring female entrepreneurs from diverse industries, backgrounds, and stages of their journey. We'll explore the lessons they've learned, the obstacles they've overcome, and the advice they have for those who might be ready to take a leap of their own. I cannot wait to dive into the day-to-day realities of running a business, often while juggling other roles like being a mum or working multiple jobs. You can expect honest conversations, valuable advice, and a whole lot of inspiration. So grab yourself a cuppa and let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Small Biz Society, the podcast. I'm Katie and today I am joined by Emily.
Yay!
Hello. Hello Emily. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
Hello everybody. My name is Emily. I am an illustrator and a stationery shop owner. So you might have seen a few of my pins and things. And I like to help small businesses as you do. I just do a bit of everything, but I would say I'm an illustrator / stationery business.
Amazing. So tell us about your background. Where, you know, what has been your journey and how did you get into obviously having your own business now?
Yeah, well, it was never the plan. So I went to uni and studied animation. So my dream was to work at Disney. I applied for Disney when I was like 13 years old.
And
I thought that was, I just sent a few drawings of Disney characters and just was convinced I was going to get a job. And yeah, when I left school, I was told about an animation course that was being run for its first year in our little town. And so I applied for that and there was like six people on that course. So it was very new. And then from there, I went and studied animation in Bournemouth, which is like, if you're in the animation world, Bournemouth is kind of the place to go. Well, it was back then, if you wanted to get in the industry. So I kind of had a great path to get into animation. But then when I left uni in 2013, I just could not get a job anywhere. It was really hard to get a job. So I opened my Etsy shop then, back in 2013, and I started, I'd learned to draw. I wasn't taught at uni, bearing in mind I did animation. It was all computers and making characters. So I ended up buying a drawing tablet from Argos when I got home from uni. And I just started drawing every day. And by that July, I had got my first kind of freelance project. I did a Nestle's cereal advert. That was my first
thing.
I had to design all these characters for this Nestle gluten-free cereal. I did that. And I remember that was like my first, I think I charged myself £100 a day on that. And I felt really nervous and like excited. Oh my gosh, I'm charging £100 a day. And then from that, I got an internship in an animation studio. And within a couple of months, I was sort of on the concept art team. So I was designing all the characters and I was there for a few years. That was obviously kind of the dream, was to work there. But in reality, it wasn't what I kind of pictured in my head, this sort of dream job.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. So I left there and started the business in 2017. And I was just going to freelance from home. I was drawing portraits of families at this point, and I was just going to kind of try and do it from home. I managed a year doing that, but I couldn't pay the mortgage. It was a stress. I was crying every single day. And I was like, oh, I think I need to go back into a job. I don't want to, but this isn't working. And so I did. So I went back into a job and I worked for Nickelodeon in 2018. I got that job. So that again was like a dream job, you know, getting my name on a show.
Yeah.
It was a 9-month contract. And it was like, right, let's do this for 9 months. Let's save some cash. We'll try again in 9 months' time. And 2 weeks into that job, I got pregnant. It was planned. He was very much planned, but we'd been trying for years with nothing happening. So that it wasn't planned, it was timing, but it all worked out. So I was heavily pregnant working on that show, and my contract ended on the 1st of February, and I gave birth on the 15th of February. And I was unemployed. I was unemployed with a newborn and no plans of what I was going to do. And this business, this version of the business, started when he was about 12 weeks old. I was feeding him and up in the night, and my kind of what I was watching was I was just going onto YouTube and searching drawing businesses, female drawers, female artists, businesses, and people like Catnip and Ellis Jade, and all these people were coming up. And that was what I was watching while I was feeding my son, thinking, gosh, like, how amazing is that? I'll never be able to do that. I've got this baby now, you know? And by the time he was 12 weeks old, I thought, why can't I do it? Like, I can draw. I don't know what I'm doing with business, but surely we'll try and figure that out.
Yeah, you got one part of it down.
Yeah, I can draw. So I turned on a camera. Well, I didn't even have a camera at that point. I just turned the camera on my phone and just started filming. And literally the first studio vlog I did was just kind of saying, I'm going to figure this out. I don't know what it is. And so that's how the business started. There wasn't a business plan. It was just let's document trying to. I knew by the October of that year, my maternity pay was running out. So I'd have to have something figured out by October. So the studio vlogs were just me figuring it out by the time October came around. And now we are, well, Luca's five now. And so it's become this much bigger thing than I ever thought possible. And that's how it started. That's
And
the
that's amazing. And I know that you are such an inspiration to so many people. Obviously, you've grown your community
Yeah.
massively in those 5 years, and it's really amazing.
Yeah.
What would you say have been like your biggest hurdles in that time since starting?
Well, back in the early days, it was that there wasn't much out there to look at for, I don't want to say inspiration, but now everyone's doing studio vlogs. You know, everyone's documenting their journeys. So you only have to go on Instagram and you instantly are inspired and like seeing what people are up to. But back when I started, you know, 5 years ago, people were doing that, but it I certainly didn't see any other new mums on YouTube sharing. It was all very kind of massive artists or people getting close to that. I wasn't seeing many of the smaller creators sharing. So the hurdle for me when I first started was figuring out how to do it. There was no one to sort of say, "Hey, what do I do now?" I had to just figure that out. And then as we grew, the hurdle that comes with that is there's kind of some pressure there
Yeah.
to constantly have the answers to everything. You know, some people look at the number above your name on Instagram and think, oh, she's got it all figured out. I'll do what she's doing. But then that gives no room for me to get it wrong because then that's, oh, I do get it wrong. But there feels like there's this big pressure of, oh, I should have had that figured out. I'm getting better at that, but there's many a times I just haven't shared stuff because I'm like, oh no, that I'm meant to have had that figured out. And that's a year one problem. And we're now like 10 years into this. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
that's a hard one as well. And there's some days I wake up and think, oh, I wish I was smaller in terms that no one would know what I'm doing. There's
Yeah.
less eyes. The eyes are great on when great stuff happens, but the eyes are there when bad stuff happens. You know, like last year, I left my studio, and I'm sure we'll talk about that because that's a high and a low. That's one of those things you wish that not many people were watching.
Yeah.
But there's not, it was my biggest audience, you know, and everyone saw me have to make that decision. But it's just one of those things, isn't it? You can't have all the good stuff. You've got to show the highs and the lows, you
But
know.
that's the thing, isn't it, as well, with like growth. You know, when you see like funny reels and people say something like, oh, I've had my first troll, that must mean I've made it.
Yeah.
And it is like, with obviously a bigger audience comes the more opportunity for the rubbish as well as the good.
Yeah. But it's good. Like, I would never complain ever. It's fab. But yeah, like you say, it's just everything's just heightened. So all the great stuff, is great, but when bad stuff happens, it just feels like it's much bigger than it probably is.
Yeah.
Especially like leaving the studio, probably not a big deal, but to me it was huge because
Yeah.
it felt like I just documented this whole thing and now I'm like, it's all gone, you know? Yeah.
So tell us about that. So you had a studio.
I did.
So what made you leave your studio?
Well, I got the studio in October of 2020. So I had Luca in 2019. And like I said, my maternity pay ran out in October. That November, I launched Patreon. So it was all very much the plan that I'm going to launch Patreon in the November. And my hope is I'm going to grow it to replace my maternity pay. I just needed £600 a month, which is what my maternity pay was. And I was going to work my way up to that. It might take me 5 years to get there, but that was my goal.
Yeah.
Well, I got to £600 within 2 months. So it
Wow.
grew insanely fast. And I was making £1,000 within 6 months.
Amazing.
And that's all because of timing, because I launched in November. By March, we were going into lockdown. Like COVID was hitting, in the March time. So people were starting small businesses. So what do you do when you're at home and you run a small business? You join someone's low
Yeah.
cost Patreon to try and grow. So I grew insanely fast in 2020. And by October, I was in this room, but I was inundated. I was sending so many Patreon boxes. I was getting orders and it was so busy. I was like, I'm gonna look at getting a studio space. So I did, and I could afford it because Patreon was amazing. And I was in there for what, 2, 3 years. When people started going back to work and the cost of living crisis is happening, the first thing you let go of is the low-cost Patreon that you signed up for in lockdown.
Yeah.
So my Patreon, which is my wage, just went down. So the studio, all the bills for that was an easy thing to pay for back then. But then all of a sudden it was like, oh, this is getting harder now. And you have to pay your bills in the studio. So it was the family that was suffering because I was bringing home less. So Luca was starting school and I just sort of thought, the ultimate dream was to be able to take Luca to school and to pick him back up again every day. That was always the goal. And I didn't want to lose sight of that. So as much as having a lovely studio was nice, and I do miss it, I really miss it. It's just meant that as a family, I'm here. I have less space, but I don't need space. I filled that room because I was able to. You know, you
Yeah.
can make it work in any size.
Yeah.
So I just made the decision. I was just like, once I'd been thinking about it for about 6 months, but when I made the decision, that was it. I sent the email. I was like, and then I had to do a 3 month wait, like, you have to do like a 3 month
Yeah.
period. And that was the hardest because I knew I was leaving and it was like, it was just looming. I just wanted to be out. But it was the best decision I ever made. I'm glad I had the studio while I had it because I appreciate. I was in this room before and I didn't appreciate how lovely this room was, and how much I could achieve in this room. I'm glad I did the studio, but I'm also glad I've left it now. It was expensive. It was
Was it a
getting
big weight off
expensive.
your shoulder?
Massive weight off my shoulder. Yeah, because they kept raising rent and bills were going up. And then like there was one Christmas. I didn't really use the studio at Christmas because I used to just shut, like when the shop closed, like the Friday before Christmas, I would just keep my shop closed till January. So there was just no point going in. So it would just be empty. And I remember getting an electric bill for £400 for that December that I'd not even been in. And I just thought, I can't do this. I can't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So yeah.
No,
That.
that's that. It, I can imagine it must have been. What's the word? Not
It was bittersweet. It
yeah.
was bittersweet. It was horrendous. Like it was horrible. Packing it up was sad. I felt a failure while I did it. I felt like I had failed this. Because to me, when a business goes like that, it should continue to go like that.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was going like that. Sorry, that's not good for a podcast, is it? I've just done some hand gestures on a podcast. Sorry, guys. Basically, I was going in upward trajectory and now I felt like I was going down. And yeah, it just felt rubbish. But then I also felt really proud of myself because I put my family before
Yeah.
how aesthetic a business could look. Like, it is having a studio, it's an aesthetic thing, it looks lovely. Looking back now, I didn't need that massive space. I could afford to do it, I did it. But yeah, I'm just glad in that moment I thought, no, I'm gonna look after my family and we'll be better for it in the long run. And I don't even think it's had any effect. There's some people that don't even know I had that studio that have just joined me in the past 6 months. That when I keep mentioning studio, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's this whole chapter of my life that you missed. But yeah.
No, that's it's it, it I think it's a brave step that you made, and if it benefits your family and you going forward, then I definitely say it's worth it. And who knows where you'll be in 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah. Well, it's just like priorities change, don't they? And like some people, their dream is to have the studio. And I'm like, go for it. If that's your dream, it was my dream, do it. But also, if you change your mind, if it doesn't work out, don't be afraid to change it. Don't be afraid of like changing your mind on how you want your business to grow. I always thought, I don't want to work from home. I'm not productive at home. I'm never going to get out of bed to actually get work done. That's how I used to think. So I used to tell myself, I need a studio to get me up and to go out. And but now I have to get up anyway. I've got to do the school run every day. Like, I'm up. So I can't use that as my excuse anymore. I could. If I didn't have this room, because this is technically Luca's bedroom, Luca had to give up a bedroom for this business. But my thought process is I'm going to work hard to hopefully one day, maybe we get a slightly bigger house and he have the gorgeous bedroom then. And he's fine. To be fair, he doesn't even sleep in his bed. He climbs in with us every day. So, yeah.
So what has been, do you think, your proudest moment to date?
Well, aside from all the typical things, having my son, all the fun stuff, I would say, like we've said, I was the day I got the keys to that studio, I was beaming because I was like 18 months into it with an 18-month-old, and I was like, oh my God, I've done it. I was so proud of myself. But again, then when I handed the keys back with my 4-year-old, I was like, oh my God, I've done it. Like, I've come full circle. I have a 4-year-old that's going off to school, and we've made enough money now, and the business is big enough that I can hand it back and we can carry on at home. Like, so both things, picking up the keys and dropping them off, are both very, very proud moments for me in different ways, if that makes sense.
Of course. So getting on to more of like the in your business,
Yeah.
do you have any products, like do you have any favorite products to make?
I love pins. I'm a pin kind of fanatic now because I just love the idea that I can sketch something today and in a month's time I could open it up and it's in my hand as this gorgeous little keepsake. And it's something that when I go to events, it's the one product that gets people talking, gets people to my table. One, because I display them quite nice, but because I've got so many of them now, everyone has a different favorite, and it's the best when you go to an event or a craft fair or something, and you just sort of stand back and watch like a couple of friends come over and chat about the pins, and they'll point to one and be like, "Oh, that's so you. You need to get that one on." And they'll say, "Oh, that's so you." And I love that. I love like a little idea can become something that means so much to somebody. So I would say pins. I also love anything that's kind of like an illustration that I've thought up and added to a product. So like prints, postcards, I suppose everything I draw goes on a product, but just something that has come from my head usually one night when I'm trying to go to sleep, becomes this print that ends up on someone's wall. It's just yeah, it's really special.
Isn't that the way that most things happen? It's when you're going to bed at night and you're like, you have an idea. I think that happens for so many small business owners. Okay, and on the flip side of that, have you had any like real product fails? Anything that hasn't worked or?
Oh, I've had things that have flopped, products that, and it's usually products that I've really loved. And sometimes I'm very good now at being clear on, I think because I've done it so many years now, I know what works. I know what things people tend to buy. I know, obviously, lilac is my thing now, and that's, I love it. But I know, I kind of know what will work. But there's every now and again, I'll make a product that kind of goes outside of that and is just something that I love. And I'm just like, oh, I want to make that. I don't know if other people will like it. So one example is like my elephant pin that I did.
Yeah.
It's not lilac. It doesn't, like my other pins that do really well are ones that are like motivational quote kind of ones, like empowering ones. This is just an elephant, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't kind of fit anything. And on paper, it has kind of flopped. Like it hasn't really sold. I don't know if I'd call it a fail though, because it's probably one of my favorite pins. So for me, it's one of my favorites. But you do have these things that you make that don't kind of hit like you want them to, but you love them. I'll always keep doing that. It's probably not the best business advice to be like, just make products because you like them.
But I'm really passionate about that, I think. You know, when people say you need to make things for your audience and not for yourself. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to make things that I like.
Yeah.
I want to be happy with it.
Exactly. If you can find where your target audience crosses with things you love, hence why everything in my shop is lilac, that's great. But sometimes, sometimes you're constantly thinking, are they going to like it? Are they going to like it? Is this right? Is this right? Yeah, you don't enjoy that stuff. You've got to make stuff. Oh, I've just looked down and I have an elephant pin right here.
Oh, I love that.
That's Luca playing with them now. He's obsessed with them. You do. You have to make the products that make you happy. Like I've literally just brought out a cowboy boot collection and I haven't done a big launch for it. I just drew it because I loved it. I made it because it makes me happy. And if people like it, then that's great. But I'm not like, I have some products that they do have to sell. I've invested money. This has to work. But every now and again, I'll make a little collection because it's just a bit of fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I just take the pressure off of making it like it has to sell out, you know? I'm not bothered about that. So
obviously, you've talked about how you run a Patreon alongside your shop.
Yeah.
How important do you think it is to have multiple streams of income when you're running a business?
It's vital, I would say. It is. Well, for me, this business would not be running if I only had a shop. It's not sustainable. It's some months are great, some months are really bad. And I know that's business and trying to figure it out, but having multiple income streams means I just don't have to worry. So, like I said, Patreon's my constant. So, although it has ups and downs, it is pretty consistent now. Now it is anyway.
Yeah.
So I can rely on that as kind of that pays the bills. And then I have the shop, I have YouTube, and I have other little bits that come in. And it all just kind of means that there's just less pressure on one. I think when I see people that just have a shop, you can almost tell when there's a panic, you know, or like there's a flash sale and you think, oh, they're struggling. And I do get it, but by spreading yourself out and just trying to do these little bits, and you don't need to make thousands. I know you see so many people on Instagram saying how many thousands they make a month. You don't have to do that, but you know, YouTube this month, I got £200 from YouTube this month, which is the highest I've ever had on YouTube. And that's amazing. That paid my phone bill, paid the internet. You know what I mean? So it's just like these little pockets that you can do. And like, I've really started to, I share links with everybody. Someone messages me and says, hey, what camera do you use? What microphone do you use? I'm sending links left, right and center. And I never really, I knew about affiliate links, but I never utilized it. And I thought, gosh, I put links in everything and I really should be using this. So I started using that more, you know, really utilizing affiliate links and Amazon, and anyone can do that. I just don't think people realize how accessible it is for everybody. If you're going to share a link on Amazon, Share an affiliate link, and things like that add up, and every
Yeah.
now and again I'll get 50 quid sent to me from Amazon, and that's nice, and so just I really do encourage people to have multiple income streams and start from day one planning them out. I did a whole video a couple of years ago now on different income streams, and then I've done one recently, like updating it. So if anyone's like interested, I like break down all the different ones I have.
I did watch that one
Yeah.
recently, and obviously the comparison. And then I
Yeah.
looked at mine and I was like, because a couple of the shops that I was in have closed, and I'm like, oh, I haven't really got my stuff
Yeah.
anywhere at the moment. And then it's obviously thinking about, okay, how can I grow this again?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have any tips for mums? Because obviously, we know that you've grown this business
Yeah.
from having a tiny baby. So do you have any tips on for mums wanting to start a business but thinking that they won't be able to do it, they won't be able to juggle it?
Well, my first tip is you can do it. I did it. I've seen other mums do it. You can do it. It's not easy. It's really hard. There's days where you'll just feel like there's no point to this. Why don't I just stay in bed with this baby? Like, what's the point of getting up? But it's just doing little bits every day that will add up, and you'll be so grateful you did. I'm so glad I didn't wait and think, I'll wait till he's in school then I'll start, because I feel like I had a massive head start by just
Yeah.
chipping away in those early years. So what I would say to new parents, new mums, don't be scared to ask for help. So that's one thing I did have, is I had lots of help in that we have both sets of kind of grandparents. So one night a week, and since Luca's been born, he still does this now. It's Wednesday, so he'll be going tonight. Every Wednesday, he goes to my mum's and he stays overnight.
Ah.
I've had that since he were born. And some people will say, oh, why would you like let your newborn baby go? And I'm like, because I needed
Yeah.
one night to sleep and to like kind of gather myself. And so I've had that for the 5 years. It's where, like, every Wednesday I know he's going there. And if you can, I know not everyone can do that, but if you have somebody that can, even if it's just an hour or two, to just give you a bit of space to just sit down with a notepad and just get your thoughts out your head,
Yeah.
really use it. And if somebody's offering to help, don't see it as being weak. You need it. So that's kind of one of my bits of advice, is ask for help, get sleep, prioritize sleep. So I didn't, and that's the one thing I would change going back. So when they say sleep when your baby sleeps,
Yeah.
mine was work when your baby sleeps. So Luca used to fall asleep and I would physically run to the office and film. So if you ever watch any of those early YouTube videos of mine, I will literally say at the start, Luca's asleep in the next room, or I've just put Luca down, because he would sleep and it'd be like, right, film a video, right, draw this, right. And I was on it all the time. So when he was a newborn, it was actually easy to. People think that's the hardest bit. It's really not. They sleep a lot.
Are they sleep all the
Get a
time?
lot done. The hardest bit for me was toddler, because
Yeah.
he never wanted to sleep, so I never got anything done. And then I'd get frustrated because I'd be like, I need to get stuff done and I can't. So kind of whenever, at whatever point you want to start, it's going to be challenging. You're going to face different challenges. Ask for help. Don't compare yourself to anybody on the internet, especially people that don't have children.
Yes.
I did that. And I compared myself to amazing creators who can work long hours, who can travel to do things, who do have extra income to buy stuff. My money went on milk and nappies. Like, so you can't compare yourself. So that's one of the things I'm hopeful for. If you are starting this, watch my early studio vlogs, because that might be a better comparison to somebody
Yeah.
that, you know what I mean? So yeah, hopefully that's helpful. Little
No,
bits of.
yeah, definitely. Okay, so how do you plan your time? I mean, I guess it's a bit easier now
Not
that he
yeah,
is at
not I'm not good at
school.
it. I'm not good
You're
at it.
not good at
No.
that.
I could lie and say I've got all these. No, I'm really crap. I am very much a, I take every day as it comes. So I do put plans. There's plans in the diary for the whole year. So like set things that are happening. But in terms of what I need to get done, I just wake up every day and we're like, right, what's the plan for today?
Yeah.
I don't, and I'm also not very strict with that. So like this week is a mega busy week because I've got a market on Saturday and I've just got all these things that I need to get done. So this week I do have lots of to-do lists going on. I'm looking now, I've got to-do lists everywhere. So I have got things I have to get done, but I'm also quite loose with it. So if it don't get done today, I will get it done. I always do. I figure it out, but I am quite loose with times and I don't. Yeah, like you see some people like plotting every hour what they're going to do. I'm not like that.
No,
I'm not
I
like that.
can't do that because if I'm
No.
tired or if I'm not feeling well and I don't want to do it, then I'm going to feel worse because I haven't got it done and I'd planned to get it done.
Yeah. I do love a to-do list.
Oh,
I
me too.
thrive off of a to-do list.
Yeah.
And I also have found that by working less hours, I get more done. So
Okay.
when Luca used to go to nursery, he used to be in nursery at sort of 8 a.m. and he could be there till 6. I never kept him there till 6. I used to pick him up about 4, but he could be there till 6. And when I knew I had all that time, I used to saunter about. I look back now and I think, gosh, I used to sit at my desk all day and get nothing done. But now I go get Luca. I've got to get Luca at 3.
Yeah.
I get it all done and more because I've just set myself this like, right, I've got this amount of time, we have to get it done. So I think, yeah, if anybody is kind of like struggling with that, give yourself less time, sort of say, right, I'm finishing work at 1 today. You'll find you will get it all done. You'll just be
Yeah.
super productive. And then you can enjoy your afternoon then. I just
I
think it's a
love
much
that.
better way to be, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, do you plan your social media or is that another
No.
wing it? No, you don't.
No, I don't. I think people are surprised by that. No, I don't. I in the beginning, when I first started on Instagram, when Luca was little, I knew how I wanted my Instagram to look, and I really wanted to make it a really beautiful thing. So I kind of planned all the posts and like how it was going to look. But then I found it quite restrictive. And I'm really, one of my favorite things to do is to make content. I love it. I don't see, like, some people hate making reels. I love making reels. I just think it's so fab. But I just enjoy waking up and being like, what are we going to post today? I find that quite freeing. Whereas some people might be like, oh my God, what am I going to post today? To me, it's an opportunity of like, right, what are we going to post? There's so much we can post today. So no, I don't plan it at all. I kind of plan in that I'm not a fan of everything being very producty. So I like to break up products with all, so I kind of plan in that way, but I do it, you know, every day. I'm just like, right, what's next? The kind of thing I do plan is like YouTube content because you can't really, you have to kind of plan that. I do try and get a video up every week, but I'm also not very strict with that. So this week I've not felt my best and I've been super busy. So a YouTube video has not happened and I've not posted on Instagram in 3 days, which is not like me at all. That's one thing you'll notice. If I don't post, it's because I'm either super busy or a bit run down.
Oh, that's the same as me. Like I, you'll know if I'm not feeling great because I just won't, there won't be any content.
So, but I also think some people like to plan in advance in case that happens, you know, so that they always have content. But I think I almost don't like that because if I'm not feeling it or I'm a bit down or I don't want to just kind of post a happy, I don't want a scheduled post to go out. It feels false to me. I'd rather come on and be like, I'm not posting today. I'm not feeling it. I don't, you know, I understand how some brands need content to go out every day. But if you are a kind of a, if the brand is you, if, you know, I'm not one for scheduling posts to, even like when I go on holiday. So I used to do it when I used to go on holiday, I used to schedule posts while I was away. And I didn't like it. I didn't like that it wasn't me hitting post. So now when I go away, I'll either, Like, I suppose the last holiday I went on was beach holiday, and I actually had the whole month of August off. I had that off completely, which was life-changing, by the way. I recommend it to anybody. And I'm going to do that again this year. So when I go away, I'm just not on. You're just not going to see me. Yeah, so I'm not one for scheduling posts.
No, that's fair. I don't schedule mine.
No.
Don't. I think that's fine.
Okay,
All right. What are your plans for the future of Emily Harvey Art? Have you got any big goals, or are you just
I am
seeing where
just
it goes?
winging it. I'm winging it. I don't have any big goals, only because I just know how quickly they can change. You know, like circumstances can change your goals.
Yeah.
My goal for this year is I want to be in more shops. So that is one goal I've set myself, and I'm being active to try and sort that. Like you said, I was in a couple of pop-up shops last year and the year before, and then they kind of ended and I did nothing about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, this year we're going to sort that out. So we're in end of February and I'm in four shops now. So that's exciting.
Amazing.
But
Well
my goal
done.
is to be in 10.
Yeah.
So by the end of the year, I'm going to try and be in 10. So we're just going to keep chipping away at that. And I think that, yeah, that is one of the things I want long term, is to be more places kind of in the UK and hopefully worldwide. Doesn't need to be big fancy shops, but just kind of, you know, a little bit everywhere. And again, it just takes some pressure off, even if, like, I got an invoice from one of my new shops and I've only sold a bookmark, and that's fine. But imagine if that's 100 shops just selling a bookmark. You know what I mean? I'd just rather
Yeah.
kind of branch out, keep it small, but branch out. I'd like to grow Patreon again. So, like I said, it did take a dip. It's on its way back up. So, it's not back to COVID levels, but it's getting there, which is
Amazing.
very exciting. And it's exciting to see people that had to leave because money was tight and now coming back and saying, yay, I'm back. You know, business is coming back,
Yeah.
and that's really exciting for me. So it's all about kind of growing that, but just making it, trying to remember why I started it and how I want to help people and bring people together. So my goal is to grow that and to grow the shop and to continue doing the school run in between.
Amazing. Okay, are you ready for the quick five five?
Yes, please. I don't know if I am actually, but we'll see.
We'll see, won't we? Who is your biggest inspiration?
My mom.
No.
I talk about my mum all the time, but I think I should talk about her more, but she's just she I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for my mum, because she's just, I could do a whole hour talking about my mum. I've just watched her go, she's just gone through, she's had such a life, bless her. But I watched her run her own businesses, and like I've seen the struggle. We didn't come from money. We have really struggled over the years, and she's had some real down points, you know, but she's just always come out of it. And she's also been such, there's three of us, so there's me and my two brothers, and we're all very, like all of us work for ourselves. We all have our own businesses, and that is because of her, because she just
Yeah.
always championed and like supported us. She never, like, I've got two brothers, and one of the brothers is a different dad, but both of our dads are like corporate people, and they both told us, don't do that. Like, you need to get a job. You need something more stable. And my mum was always like, yeah, but you need to be happy. Like, you
Yeah.
need to be happy. And so she was just always encouraging us. And like, she works for all three of us. Like, she does my book, like my accounting, bookkeeping. She works on reception at my brother's business. And you know what I mean? Like, she's just, we would not be doing it without her. So literally one of my goals, to add to your previous question, is I want to make enough money. This might take me 30 years, 20, 30 years, but I want to make enough, and I want to help her buy a house with a conservatory.
Oh, I love
Because
that.
her dream is to have a conservatory and sit in it and read a book when she retires. And
Oh.
if I can build a business so that she sat in a conservatory, that's just my ultimate goal. Like, I would do that. I would sell everything for her to have that. So that's our goal, the three of us kids. So we're just going to work towards doing that for her.
Oh, that is so lovely.
So yeah, so she'll always be my inspiration, is my mum. I call her Bob. So if anyone follows me on Instagram and I talk about Bob,
That is your mum.
that is my mum.
We all love Bob.
Yeah, she's fab.
Do you have a favourite business book?
I'm going to be controversial and say no. I am not a business book person. Only because I'm not a book person, really. I really struggle. I really think to myself, I'm going to read a book this year, and I buy the books. I've got all the books. I can't switch off into a book. I've realized over the years, like, I keep punishing myself thinking, when you see people saying, I've read 10 books this year, and I'm thinking, why? I can't. I'm not as good as them, like, because I haven't read a book. What I've realized is I'm not a book person, and that's fine. I'm more of a visual person. So it's not a book, but one thing I'm really enjoying at the minute is I've signed up to Masterclass. I don't know if you've heard of
No,
Masterclass.
I haven't.
So it's a subscription, but it's these masterclasses on business, on finance, on being on entrepreneurship. There's fashion, there's cooking, all of these things, but they're taught by, like, these masters. So, there's the woman who started, what is it? Wonder Bra, is it? No, no,
Okay.
no, not, no, not Wonder Bra. What's it called? Kim Kardashian did Skims.
I'm just watching you doing these
sorry.
gestures to
Oh my God, I've literally just watched this. Why has it gone out of my brain? Anyway, these top businesses, it'll come to me as soon as we finished. The pants that hold you in, what are they called?
Spanx.
Spanx. The lady who started Spanx. So she does a whole masterclass on business. The head of Disney does one on business. Anna Wintour, who obviously is the editor of Vogue, does one on leading a team. So it's all of these, like, really helpful topics by these very, very accomplished people. I'm really enjoying that, and I found that
Okay.
you can just listen to it. You don't even have to watch, but
Yeah.
I'm enjoying that content over books.
That's fair enough. That's the thing. We all learn in completely different ways, don't we? And we take things in different ways. So, yeah, no one should ever feel bad if they're not a book person because, and some people just don't even enjoy reading.
I wish I did. That's the thing. But I know there'll be some people that are listening that are like, I don't want a book. But I think another thing I found, if you struggle to read a book and get into it, I found that I downloaded Audible, and, like, listening to it rather than reading it, I found I enjoy as well, especially when I'm driving and stuff. I
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks recently. Just I love reading, but obviously I do have to put quite a lot of effort into that, whereas I can listen to an audiobook while I'm working or while I'm doing something else or falling asleep. I've started listening to them while I go to bed because I'm one of those people that I've got a billion things going around my head and I come up with all
Which is
these
true.
things at bedtime. So I found that starting to listen to an audiobook when I'm going to sleep helps me get to sleep because I'm only concentrating on that and not the billion other things.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question? Because we have this argument in our house. When you listen to a book, have you read it? Can you add it to your Goodreads and say you've read that book? Because my husband says no, but I say yes.
Yeah, I had this conversation with someone yesterday actually because obviously we were talking about something similar, and I said, I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks, but does it count as reading?
I would say you still process it in your
You
head, but
still
you still.
processed it and you've still read the story, you've still got the story. So yes,
Yeah,
I
I
would say
think so
yes.
too. I think so too. I was chatting to my mum about it. I said, "Mum, I said something like, Mum, I read this book," meaning I listened to it. She said, "Can I borrow it?" And I said, "Well, it's on my app." And she said, "Well, you haven't read it." I was like, "I have. I know the story. I read it."
Exactly. You know what happens, so you've definitely read the
Maybe I need to ask on Instagram and do a poll and see what
Yeah.
people think. I think
Yeah, definitely.
it'll be divided.
Do you have a favorite business podcast?
There's a few I've listened to, but I tend to go more towards listening to inspiring people. That's not necessarily business, but I always feel like I can take something from it. So, like there's like the Diary of CEO, which I mean, recently I feel like it's gone off. Like it's a bit different now. He's gone down a kind of different route. But those early ones where he did talk to CEOs and, I used to love listening to those. I used to get so excited when they'd come out. And like Jay Shetty does a podcast. I love listening to people's stories and like how they got to where they are. Even if they aren't business people. I love that stuff. I don't really listen to many like businessy podcasts. It's more people. I tell you one thing I do really enjoy is I love a good TED talk, and they do a podcast version. So if you like little snippets of things, and I find myself listening to stuff like sometimes with a podcast, I find, I don't know, I can very quickly after a few, sometimes I get a bit like, oh, I'm ready for the next thing. Like you need a different voice sometimes. Like these ones, like you're doing are great because you're hearing multiple people, but you sometimes when it's one person talking. But with the TED Talks, because it's a different voice every time, talking about something different, I really enjoy it. I really like it. So yeah, those are my kind of few that I have.
Lovely. What is your guilty pleasure?
Ooh. My guilty pleasure would be on a Wednesday when Luca goes to my mum's, instead of going to my desk, which was the whole point of him going there, was so that I can work, I get into bed with some Maltesers and I go back and watch. I love re-watching shows. I'm not one for starting new stuff. This is where me and my husband are different. My husband's like loves to watch all the new things that come out, and I'm like, I want to go back and watch The OC again for the 12,000th time. Well, I've got a list of them. There's like The OC, One Tree Hill. I rewatched Sabrina recently, Saved by the Bell, like all the things that just take me back to a time where I had no responsibilities and could just sit in bed and watch telly.
I love that.
And that's what I do on a Wednesday. And it like kind of takes me back to just that time where I definitely could utilize the time. But I almost think it's as just as productive to look
Yeah,
after
we all
yourself.
need time off.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a favorite biscuit?
Bourbons. Is that what, how you, yeah, bourbons.
Bourbon, yeah.
That was my craving when I was pregnant.
Oh, was
And
it?
yeah, oh my God, I could churn out a couple of packets of them, to the point where on my last day at work, I came into work to like three packets of bourbons on my desk that people had put on there as my leaving gift. Just knew. And I've got a little bourbon key ring now, which is my reminder, because it's
Oh, yeah, I
like,
remember seeing that.
and that's just like my little reminder that of Luca, because I just think you made me fall in love with bourbons.
Oh, that's really cute. Okay, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody just starting out in business?
Don't be scared to be vulnerable. Don't be scared to kind of share with others if you want to. Like you don't have to, but don't just kind of share all the highlights. People connect with when things go wrong too. Makes you human. And ask for help, like I said, and that applies to being a parent and not being a parent. Everyone needs help. And find your people. There's people out there. The internet is a scary place, but there are some wonderful pockets of people. And once you find them, kind of, yeah, don't let that go, because it's quite, what I found is it's quite rare to find groups of people that want to help, and there's nothing in it for them. Like sometimes you get groups of people and it's like, yeah, I'll do that for you, but you, I need you to do this. Find groups of people that it's not about that, that just genuinely want to help because they've been there, or they're just nice people. And once you find that, it will make every day enjoyable.
Okay, and finally, let us know where we can find you.
You can find me on Instagram. I am usually chatting away on my stories, and it's all very lilac and lovely. And that is at Emily Harvey Art. You can find me on YouTube. My voice went then. YouTube, Emily Harvey Art. I'm over on Patreon, and I share content on there every single month. Is that everywhere you can find me? I have tried TikTok. You might see a video on there, but I'm not very good at it. I've not cracked TikTok yet.
Oh, I haven't been on TikTok. I don't even have the app on my phone at the moment because I just haven't been on it for so long.
I know. I feel like that was one of those apps that we should have got in at the start.
Yeah.
I feel too late now to
I know,
start.
so do I. Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been really lovely having you on today.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, everyone.
I will leave all your details in the show notes. So if we have forgotten anything, I'll make sure I put it in there.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for listening today, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you again so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider leaving a review and make sure you're following me so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're interested in being a guest yourself, just reach out and we can have a chat. All the details of where you can find me are in the show notes of each episode. So let's connect, and I can't wait to see you next time.